Will you just believe and ask God to bless the reading of His Word and the message? Father, we come now to this message and we ask in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit will bless us here this morning in believing for these requests, that every one of them in the name of Jesus will be ministered to. Meet that need in Christ's name. Bless now the Word of God as it goes forth in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In the book of Numbers, the Bible says, you don't have to turn to that one particular scripture. It says in the book of Numbers, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. There's no way that man can sin without it coming to the attention of God and eventually being brought to the attention of those that it affects. We're talking today about the sin of the church, of people that know God. Man that's a sinner, we must recognize the great truth that when that man, that woman, listen to me in this television audience, or sitting in this audience, is lost, then sin is not their problem. Calvary, Jesus died. Sin came, death passed upon all, and Christ died for every sinner. Every sinner, He took your place. He bore your sin. He died your death. And all you need this morning is Jesus. Sin brought us to the human family, to the place it is. But sin is not the real problem of the sinner. He needs a Savior. But once you're born again, then sin becomes a problem. Sin becomes a big problem to those that know God. This is the thing that I'm saying, and God is saying to us, that if you sit in this audience, wherever you are, and there's unconfessed sin in that life, if you profess to be a member of the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, that sin will find you out. Now, sin is the most destructive force in the universe of God. It is the most destructive force in the universe. When you recognize that the sin of our parents, the eating of that forbidden fruit, is the cause of the hell that's on this earth today. All of the crime, the sin, the bloodshed, the to the disobedience of our parents. Eve's covetousness is what sold the human race into bondage to sin. Her covetousness led her to be discontent with the provision of God. And in Genesis 3 and 6 it says that she looked at the tree of knowledge as a tree to be greatly desired. A tree to be desired. God said you can't have it. But in her heart she said in Genesis 3 and 6, a tree to be desired. And it was that desire that sold us into the hell that we have. The drug problem on these streets. The awful perversion that's come to this nation. The crime rate that's raised over 14% in the last few months in Texas can all be laid at the foot of that sin in the garden. Nothing is so destructive as sin. That's the reason God hates sin. And God never forgets unconfessed sin. The Bible said if we confess our sin, Christians, He's faithful and just to forgive that sin. If we confess, then God will forgive and cleanse us and forget. But if we cover that sin, we shall not prosper. And we need to know this morning, you can't hide it. There's no way it can be hid. God never forgets. You may forget. Men may forget. The one you sinned against may forget. But heaven will take that which is whispered and shouted from the housetop. When Joseph was sold by his brothers into the slavery of Egypt, they covered his coat with blood, told his father he's dead. The father believed the young man's dead, and the brothers lived 20 years with a sin they thought was forgotten. But one day they looked Joseph in the eye. God brought it home to roost. It'll always come back. Unconfessed sin is never forgotten by God, and one day He'll make it to be shouted from the housetops because it's sin that's kept the church from being all that God wants her to be. God loves the sinner, but God hates sin. You listening to me? You in this television, these are troubled times. These are times when the church's wash is being hung on the line, and men are disturbed, unsaved and saved alike, are disturbed by what's taking place. I believe it has to be addressed. I've had the radio stations to call me. I've had the television to call me. What do I think is going to happen? What is taking place in the religious community? I want to tell you what's happening. You can't tell it in a 15-second line. But I want to tell you this morning, you in this audience, you that listen tonight, that God hates sin. You hear me? God loves a sinner, but God hates sin. In Joshua chapter 7, and verses through there, verse 22 and 23, they're the climax of the story. But the whole chapter deals with a man by the name of Achan. He's a part of the family of God. They've just ransacked Jericho. God had given command that you touch nothing in that accursed place, that your hands are not to touch anything. But a man by the name of Achan had a covetous desire for one of the Babylonian garments and a wedge of gold. He hid it in his tent. And when Israel went to battle, when Jericho fell, the next city in line was Ai. And they were very confident. They said to Joshua, everybody doesn't have to go. We can handle Ai. But they went, 36 men died, and Israel fled before the enemy. Joshua fell on his face to pray and crying out, what's wrong? Have you led us out here to be embarrassed and disgraced by the enemy? And God said, get up and get out of this camp, that accursed thing. Men died because of sin in that camp. You listen. Men died because of sin in that camp. Now Achan didn't come forth and tell, I'm the culprit. Let me tell you something. He never came and said. He made the process go the limit. Joshua brought every man before him. When he got to Achan, he knew who he was. And he said to him, confess it, boy. You are guilty. You have troubled Israel. And God gave the instruction that Achan and his family and everything he owned was to be burned. You know why? God wants nothing there to cause a sympathetic chord to be in the heart of the people. They have caused Israel to fail. They've caused God's program to fail. Men have died. And God said, burn him. Not Joshua, God said that. Listen, sin in the church keeps that church from functioning. That church cannot move with that sin that's there. It never has been tolerated. God said that all evil must be moved from you. God's wrath so great that he burned them. He left nothing that would create a sympathetic feeling toward Achan. Listen, God doesn't change, and sin never changes. I said, God doesn't change, and sin doesn't change. It's as wicked, it's as devastating, it's as destructive, young people, today as it ever was. God looks at it. We try to make it change. Come into the New Testament. We think sin is not so severe under grace. No, sir. Under grace, he gave me power to live above that sin. And it's more severe in the church than it was under law. They never had the power that you have. This book said if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They had not that grace, but God has given it to the church. God has given that to the church. God does not change. Sin does not change. Unconfessed sin in the Achans cripples the work of God. When Joshua faced him, he said, you have troubled Israel. That was his testimony to him. Why have you troubled Israel? This, you caused men to die, and the whole program of God, amen, the whole world's going to hear about it. And they're going to say that God has forsaken his people. You have forsaken, listen, unconfessed sin in your life. I said in the beginning of this thought that God loves the sinner, but God hates sin. But unconfessed sin in your life brings the wrath of God on the individual with that wrath. It's not just the sin then, but the individual that has it. Listen, there's a world of difference, ladies and gentlemen, in being caught and confessing. I want that to sink deep in your spirit. There's a world of difference in a man being caught in sin and a man coming to a place that he's broken by sin and repents and turns from it. Listen, the man who's found out, the man that's just caught, he's sorry, but he's sorry because he's caught. He had no intention of ever confessing that for the most part. He covers it, and he's caught, and so there's a deep sorrow that he's caught. But the man that repented is sorry because he failed God. And there's a lot of difference. God said, I forgive. I believe if Achan, when the trouble hit, would have came out and said to Joshua, I've failed, I've done wrong, I've sinned, I'm the cause of this problem. He may not have had to be burned, but because he refused to come forth, refused to confess, then the wrath of God is not only on sin, but the sinner. On the sinner. We are facing tumultuous times. God's hatred for sin was demonstrated by his command in Deuteronomy 13 and 12 to check out every rumor. Every rumor. In the first part of that chapter, verses 1 through 5, God talks about false prophets. But he said, if a prophet, you hear me now, church, if a prophet prophesy, and what he prophesies come to pass, but yet he leads you in that away from God, he's a false prophet and must be put to death. Even though the words he said come to pass. Now the test of a prophet is, if when he prophesies, what he prophesies come to pass. But that man's prophecy, you know, it'll always come to pass if it's God, but there's a possibility even the devil's prophecy or the self's prophecy coming to pass. But if he's leading you away from God is what he's saying. Let me tell you, we've made idolatry an image that somebody built. God can tell you to lead you away to worship and engage yourself in the accumulation of the possessions of this world is to turn you to another God. There's a lot of things that become God to people other than idols built of clay and stone. It is when our affections are turned toward anything but God. I believe the biggest God in America is a God of self. We've been led to that. But God, listen, his hatred was demonstrated in Deuteronomy 13. He said, if there's any hearsay, any rumors, if there's anything about sin, anything going on, you hear it, you check it out. Now, God knows everything, but he wants us to know it. I said, he wants us to know it. If there's a rumor about sin, it's so serious that God said, you check out the rumor. Sin is not a mistake. You listening to me? It's a transgression of the law of God. It's not a mistake men make. It's transgressing against the law of Almighty God. And sin in the church destroys her influence, and people are lost who might otherwise have been saved. That's the reason God hates it. I'm just as positive that where the church is washed, hung out as it is today, there's going to be people lost. Amen. There's going to be people lost that'll never come to Christ. But yet the millions will be lost if the thing isn't exposed wherever sin is. If it isn't brought to light, then it's going to gradually and more lose her influence where she cannot save the people. But our tendency today is to sympathize with those who are caught in sin. Amen. I believe we are to love everybody, but there has to come a repentance. When a man is caught in the book of Corinthians in adultery, Paul said, you set him aside, and they so ostracized him that he broke. And finally, Paul said, receive him again, lest he be destroyed by overmuch sorrow. Amen. But they never made a hero out of him. He was put aside. Our tendency today is to sympathize with the one caught in sin instead of sympathy and prayer for the thousands. That's who God is interested in, the thousands that are lost because of the carelessness in the church. How many are lost? Listen, God says, listen, if it's in Deuteronomy 13, verses 6 through 9, He said, if a member of your family, now he said, if it's your son, your mother, your brother, your wife, that in any way leads you away from God, your eyes shall not pity. You listen? He said, your eyes shall not pity, but you will be the first one to put your hand on them. Then the rest of Israel will join and they be stoned to death. I'm telling you, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New. Now don't you go to palavering around on God and make believe that He looks at sin any different now. He's made a provision that if we'll confess, amen, there will be, when we confess and make it right, there will be a forgiveness. There'll be things that are lost. You lose an eye in a drunken brawl, repentance isn't going to put that eye back. No. But God will forgive. But unconfessed sin is the curse of the church age. God said, whoever does it, if they lead you away from God, if they turn you toward another God, if in any way your allegiance to the Almighty is led away by your mother, by your son, by your daughter, your eyes shall not pity that. This is God's Word. Listen, where there's a rumor of evil, God commands us to look into it. I know the world don't like this, and I'm just dead sure there's some people in Israel that got mad at God because Achan got burned up. I'm just as sure they had committees all over the place. And I think we ought to vote and see if we can't change some of these things. It's just a little too severe. That's because we don't recognize what sin is. We don't recognize. We ought to, but we don't recognize what a terrible force in eating away that it does into the individual, but more than that, into the church of the living God. When a rumor of evil, amen, is there, God commands us to look into it. God says, look, see whether it's right or wrong. Now this does two things, you hear me? Number one, if the rumor is false, then the one that's accused is set free. He's free from it. If it's a false rumor, if it's a lie that's being told, then when that's brought out that it's a lie, then the one that's been falsely accused is cleared. But if the rumor is true, then the church is purged and set free. Amen. It has to happen this way. I know it's hard, and the world ain't supposed to understand it. He said these are spiritual things. When they pick it up and fling it around with a football just because it makes news, that's all they're wanting. I'm talking to the body of Christ, the church, and those that are interested in spiritual things. God hasn't changed, folks. The heaven isn't shaken. There's no thought on the part of God that His church is going to disappear. Amen. We're cabled to the throne. The church is as eternal as God is. When the smoke clears, there'll still be a church. Hallelujah. There'll still be a God. There'll still be a Christ. God says in Leviticus 5:11, He said, if a man suspects his wife of infidelity, he don't know, but he believes she is. He said, you don't live with that rumor and haunt yourself and go around here trying to kill somebody. Don't you let that thing go on. If it's true, there's a curse come to this nation. He said, you take her to the priest. Now, I don't know how all that worked, but I'm telling you what it says in the book of Leviticus. He took dust off of that tabernacle floor and put it in water and made that woman drink it. And if that woman is guilty of adultery, the Bible said her stomach swelled and her thigh rotted. And if that happened to her, He said, you take her to the gate of the camp and stone her to death. That's what the Bible says. But if she wasn't guilty, then it would have no effect on her. I just bring that out to tell you this, that God is saying, when those rumors come, they must be looked into. Amen. They must be looked into. We go, if I believe you're wrong, you believe I'm wrong, then I'm to come to you or you to me. If I won't listen to you, then the biblical way, not to the press, not to ABC, not to the Beaumont Enterprise, but come to me. And if I won't listen, get a brother, come back to me. If I won't listen, take it to the church. And the church, if you won't listen, puts you out. You're a heathen. That means you're lost. That's terrible. I tell you, that's God's way of dealing. He said, all evil must be put from among us, folks. Amen. I'm talking to you, church, and the people in this community. It is not a time for us to be disturbed about God. I'm disturbed, amen, because people are going to be lost. But my faith in God hasn't been altered, amen. Has nothing to do with Jesus, has nothing to do with His church, amen. Forever rotten apple along the trail, there's 99 good ones, thank God. They're saints of God. Men fall, men get up, others fall, don't get up. But just the same, Jesus goes on. The work goes on. The Holy Ghost keeps working. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Everything. Everything. That's what He says in the book of Hebrews. If you don't have a good grip on that limb, if you can be knocked out, you will be knocked out. Just as sure as God created Adam and Eve. If you can be knocked out, you will be. That's the truth set forth here. Everything that can be shaken. Only those that have a real experience with God. The Bible said, Paul writing in the book of Thessalonians, he said he's going to send a strong delusion. Amen. A strong delusion. Now, you're not talking about delusion to deceive that world. They're already deceived. They're already blind. He's not writing to that world. He's writing to the church. And he's saying he's going to send a strong delusion. Amen. Jesus said it's going to be so bad that if it were possible, the very elect of God would be deceived. Such. How's it going to be? I'll tell you how. They're going to rise up in this end time that look like it, talk like it, act like it, but they're not going to be it. You hear me? They're going to be those that talk in tongues that don't have the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm talking to you. There's going to be those that talk a good gospel but don't live a gospel. I want to impress your mind that what we believe is how we ought to live. But that isn't so. There's those living now that profess to believe this book, but it doesn't produce the kind of a life that this book intends for it to produce. He said that delusion would be such that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. The very elect. Only those who have a real experience that know God, amen, will survive. We're witnessing, as I said a moment ago, the church's wash hung out before a skeptical world. Many are shaken. Many are shaken. You talk to people along the road. You stop in a restaurant, and the more than likely, the waitress is going to ask you what you think if they know you're connected. I mean, her wash is hung up for the world to look at. Amen. What a tragedy of our time. Many are shaken. There are those who are worried about what all this is going to do to the church. Amen. There are people that are greatly concerned. But I want to tell you something. The church is in no danger this morning. Hallelujah. I said, the church is in no danger. She is as eternal as God is. And I'll tell you what I do believe. When all the shaking is over, then the people are going to recognize once more the value of the local church. It's been hid in the shadows of other things. But let me tell you, there is no religion on this earth that can exist without a local church any more than this society can exist without a family. The more you extinguish the family, the less we become a nation. It falls apart. And Christ's truth couldn't hang in this world without the local church. But our minds have been diverted. People have looked at the local church as a secondary something. I appreciate every ministry on this earth. I can tell you, as the local church goes, so goes this world. Nothing is so important as that testimony of Christ, that body of Christ, sitting in the middle. And I believe there's going to be a lot of people look back and realize that they made a mistake putting that church in second place. He gave apostles. He gave prophets. He gave evangelists. He gave pastors and teachers for one thing. That's the building up of that body for the perfecting of the body of Christ till we all come There's nothing was given apart from the intent of God, that is that that church be magnified, that church be built up, that church come to the place that God wants it. Every ministry is given to that. That's the reason He gave the fivefold ministry. He gave the gifts to the local church, that they could be a living expression of Christ in the community. All the others should be everything geared to help that local church. Everything. All is shaken. Church is in no danger. She's as eternal as God is. She's passing through a time of cleansing. Amen. We may witness much more. I don't know. I said we may witness much more. I just don't know. But she is passing through a time of purging. I believe it'll come right down to the local level. Amen. How are the mighty fallen was a testimony of Samuel. But yet, I believe it'll come right down into the local assembly. People's grace its pews claim to be a part of the great Christian community. David Wilkerson said, witness much, much more. In his prophecy 2 years ago, he said there'll come a time when there'll be a shaking that's going to disturb a lot of people. I want to tell you this, the devil didn't send that shaking. God did. Amen. God did. God didn't send the sin. Wherever it's at, whatever it's at, I'm accusing nobody. I'm just going by what some said and what others. I'm just telling you, whether it's in this local church, whether it's in me, whether it's in you, whether it's in the biggest, God is saying to us that sin is going to find out. Amen. There's going to come a time when what we've covered up is going to shout back at us. Amen. It's going to come back. It can't be otherwise. If it will hinder Israel in her battle against the Ai, it'll hinder us in our warfare against the devil. I can tell you, you can blame the devil for a lot of it. He gets in it. But adultery and fornication and these things are work of the flesh. And I don't care who he is, preacher or who he is. If he gets carnal, his eyes will turn in the wrong direction. And adultery is a work of the flesh. God said in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew that all you see in that Old Testament is a work of the human heart. He said, out of that human heart, all of that came. Amen. Not just the devil. The devil gets in there. I said the devil gets in there. But out of that human heart, there comes this. You get away from God. You allow yourself to become carnal. Amen. And that carnal nature, that's what it is. When it begins to show up and rise up, then these things break out. I'm going to tell you this morning. It's the same God. He's the same yesterday. The day He'll be the same tomorrow. The God of the Old Testament is the God we deal with. The Bible said He never changes. His attitude towards sin and righteousness. He said we're to love righteousness and hate iniquity. God said that of us. It is to be a part of us, in us, as much as it is to love what's right, we're to hate what's wrong. God hates every false way. And evil, He said, must be put from among us. And I can tell you the same God that exposed Achan in the book of Joshua is the same God we've got to deal with today. Israel is embarrassed. Israel flees before her enemy. And the world is saying God has forsaken her. There's no more to what? They thought they were invincible. But now we see that it's not there. They're all because one man has sinned against God. But the same God that exposed Achan is the God of the church. The same God that took His greatest king and exposed him for his idolatry and murder is the same God that the church is dealing with today. The same God that dealt a death blow to Ananias and Sapphira is the same God that watches over His church today. Ladies and gentlemen, we've arrived at the end of an age. I believe the end is here. Even the secular world is saying that we've come close to the last of it. They believe that we have 5 years at the best. They're talking it out there that the unification of Europe is a settled fact in the next 5 years. They said it'll all be just one community. That's what God said would happen. We talk about Ezekiel's war coming down against Israel. We've looked for a rush of millions of Russians coming down to destroy and failed to realize that she's massed on one border in Afghanistan, 250,000 soldiers, that through the surrogate nation of Syria, she's took over Lebanon on her southern border. It's paused. It could happen in the morning. I said it could happen in the morning. We're moving toward the end of an age. There's going to be a revival. I do not believe that there's going to be a great national awakening.